to the Coffee House Theater Company podcast.
This is Erin.
And Rachel. Why are we doing that? They know who we are by now.
I don't know. I just felt like being nice.
Erin's on her phone. She's preoccupied.
Yeah, I'm looking up the name of the coffee I have on Bigby because I have no idea what it is. So I'm just trying to give the people what they want.
We have a new mic set up. Oh my god.
It's actually pretty fancy.
Erin bought this for Christmas.
Yes. I got like money for Christmas for like Amazon, so then I just bought a bunch of like recording stuff in general.
It's real nice, let me tell you. There's like that little screen thingy over the mic and
the pop filter.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
But I think it's so funny that last episode we got the other mic to work and now
I know. Yeah. Well, you know what? At least now like you have your mic when you need it
and you have your mic. Yeah, I know, but it's ironic. It's also our luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. That's how things work. We've had so many issues though with like technology.
We have. Hopefully now it's going to be better. In other news, it's 2021.
Yes. Happy New Year, Charlie Brown. Isn't that a thing?
I don't know.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Happy Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown.
No.
That's a thing. There's a great pumpkin Charlie Brown episode.
Oh, there is. There's some of us where they say it. I know. I used to watch Charlie Brown when I was younger.
It's the great pumpkin Charlie Brown.
I'm struggling here with this. I cannot find this drink. Nut butter coffee. I feel like it's something like that. What are you saying? You say that doesn't exist. You'd lie to me.
She's struggling.
Do you see me? Okay, well.
But what's new?
Whatever, it's okay. I'll know how to describe it. Oh, I should not put this here. It's loud. So yeah, we are thriving and it is a new year and a new setup.
2021 is going to be better.
Yes,
I really hopefully. Hope. I graduate this year, which is crazy.
Baby.
I'm a baby. Still in the midst of college stuff. I have a bunch of college auditions this month, which I'm kind of nervous for, but also I'm just kind of vibing.
You'll be fine.
I know.
At least they're not in person.
That's true.
That, you want to talk about stressful. Ew. But currently, I will go back to school in like a week.
Really?
Probably the 8th. Of January. I was thinking about maybe going back or be around my birthday. So
I feel like this break went really fast.
I think so too. I don't know really why. I stayed pretty busy during it, which I think was good.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been having not an identity crisis, a time crisis. God. Is that a thing?
I was going to say, I've been having an identity crisis.
No, like a time crisis where like the concept of time is so mind-blowing right now. Yes, thank you. So yeah. I'm not crazy, but like it's really like sitting with me right now. Like just days, it's just, I don't know.
Well, yeah, especially right now you're in between break and school starting back up again, so it always just kind of feels like the same day over and over again, in a way.
Mm-hmm. But it's also just, like, it seems, like, slow in the moment, but then, like, all of a sudden I'm in bed, and I was like, oh, where did this day go?
Yeah, for sure. That's how it be.
That's how it be. Like, I'm talking about, like, I don't think my first college audition is until for, like, 2 weeks, but, like, 2 weeks is gonna come and go like this, and, you know, I'll be there.
Oh, for sure.
I'll be like, oh, I remember when I was talking with Erin on the podcast about my college audition, and now it's happening.
And now it's happening.
I think my first one is an interview or Ohio University on the 13th. I think
Ohio University.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. They're one of my reach schools on my list, which, did I explain that to you?
No.
My colleges.
What
so I applied to like 16 schools, because musical theater, love that for me.
Yes.
And it's divided up into reach schools, which are like the schools that are very competitive and very hard to get into. And like, even if you're like the best person on Broadway, you'd still struggle to get into it. Like, they're, like, a really good school.
I didn't know OU was so good.
Mm-hmm. They just, like, redid their program, and they just did a whole bunch, but, like, they're really good now.
Hmm.
So, that's one of my reach schools. And then there's middle schools, which are schools that are still, like, really good programs. And I'm based on my abilities, I'm probably going to get in there. I might not, because, you know, it depends what they're looking for this year. But, like, my abilities, like, are right in line with the middle.
Yeah.
And then there's the safety school, which my safety school is AMDA, because I've already gotten into that.
Okay. Nice. That's so many schools.
It's so many schools. And it was so much money. I literally just, I don't even want to talk about that, even though I just brought it up. But it's just, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, they, that stuff's expensive. I almost cussed. But I didn't. But yeah, that's.
Love that.
But okay. You know what? You're almost there. You're one step closer.
I know. I'm just, I'm ready.
That's great. Okay. I'm trying to think of that. I have, well, our coffee is from Big B. It is, well, since it is January 1st, literally nowhere is open, but Big B is because, you know, it's a chain and it's out here being amazing. So we decided to get, like, more of the holiday-themed drinks, so, like, the winter-y drinks. So I got...
nut butter.
I don't know what it is. Okay, it's like a... It is... They have, like, I think three main drinks. And one of them... It's salted something, because all of them are salted, they say. You know what I'm saying? And then... Because you were, like, struggling to say it, because they're like... Ice salted, caramel salted, small salt. Like,
it was really me though, because we ordered all three of the main drinks and they were all like very similar with words. I'm also salted. And we were getting small, so I'm like, a salted, small caramel coffee, small salted.
Yeah. And like, I probably would have done the same thing, but they were like tongue twisters in a way, kind of.
It was so funny.
But it is a, like a salted, like. I thought it was like a nut butter toffee. It was like one of those
the,
words.
The toffee is the other drink, I think.
No, that's the cold foam.
Oh, then yeah, you're right. I think that is the...
Yeah.
Okay, so nice job.
It's like caramel and then like nut butter toffee, something like that. And here, let me actually... I had it, but I wasn't thinking. Let me try those. How's yours?
Mine's good. I got a salted caramel latte. And it's very good. It's just funny because I'm not used to having coffees with, like, salt in it. And, like, I can definitely, like, taste the after salt in it. And it's not bad. It's just not what I'm used to.
Yeah, that's for sure. I really like this. This is really good. I'm not gonna lie. I can probably chug this. It does. I do taste kind of that salt. I love caramel, but I'm not a huge fan of, like... Like the salt.
See, I don't like salted caramel stuff normally. This, it's good. It's not, it's probably not something I would get again just because I'm not like a super huge salted caramel fan.
I think if this wasn't just like, if it was just normal caramel, this would probably be like my favorite drink there.
So if they like got rid of the salt in it.
Yes. I don't want your salt. Get it out of here. Salt.
Maybe you could ask them to substitute for like from the salted caramel to just like normal caramel.
No. Mm-hmm.
Talking with your mouth full, that's rude.
I was trying to respond. I'm being a nice human. It's good though. Like,
she's chugging. Girl, put it down, dang.
I need it though, because like I did not get enough sleep, obviously. And I woke up from a nap and I was like, I'm still out of it. And I'm like, I could chug some coffee, especially if I'm in it. Because today's a Friday and last night was New Year's Eve. And so it doesn't even feel like the weekend because you feel like, oh, it's Sunday. And then I'm like, wait, I still have to, like, do things tonight. Like, I still have to go out. Ugh. Gross. I don't want to hang out with people. No, it's not that. I just, like, oh, no. I'm kind of exhausted still. Aaron, so here we go.
And Aaron knows this about me already, but tonight I'm getting my ears cleaned, and I'm so excited because I've never done this before, and I just... She's laughing at me.
The thing is, I don't even judge you because I have really bad problems with my ears, too. Such,
but, like, there's times, like, when I'm singing... It'll be like my ears just like all of a sudden get plugged while I'm singing and I sound like it's not me. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they get, it sounds like I'm singing through something instead of like actually like singing like how it sounds to myself. And it's super annoying because it always cuts in and out. And I think it's just because I have an earwax problem. So hopefully.
I think it's when you're like, when you're sick and you try singing, you know how it always feels like you have to, everything in your head sounds different and it feels kind of different, like harder to push through, kind of. It seems so stuck. I might have like issues with that,
but I have a feeling I'm going to be hearing colors once I get this done. I'm so excited.
Yes, I love how we both have ear problems and we're like singers. Thing is, I actually have, supposedly I have really good hearing. I normally just don't listen to people, I think, when they're talking to me.
You have selective hearing.
Yeah, selective hearing. Yeah, but like I had, because I got my hearing tested because of my ear problems, and they're like, actually, you have almost perfect hearing. I was like, are you kidding me? Why the heck is wrong with my ears? And
they just hate you.
Yeah, they really do. But we're figuring it out too, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe, baby. Okay, moving on to today's episode.
Wow. I don't think I have anything else to share.
Sorry. I guess I didn't ask if that was all for you.
Thanks. No, I think that was about it. We have a little fun episode today. Can I just say I'm nervous?
Yeah, this one's gonna... Okay, so today's episode is Crazy Castmates, meaning we will be talking about past castmates. We, for privacy's sake, we have changed all names, so...
And we're trying to be as vague as possible.
Some stuff still is a little hard to be vague.
Yeah. But...
The thing is, most of these people who we talk about, I don't think, like...
They don't want to listen.
They don't listen, and I probably... This might sound... Okay, so I'm going to be honest. A lot of these people kind of drove me up a tree, so I'm just going to be kind of throwing a little shade here. They probably think they're too good to listen to our podcast, so I don't really think we have to worry about that.
Probably. I don't know. Probably a lot of people are like, you guys think you're better than everyone. I'd be like, I don't even think I'm good at singing. So joke's on you.
Crazy castmates. All right.
Oh, but I do want to say one thing really quick, that a lot of this is like, so long ago in the past that I don't really like hold like any grudges against these people.
No, I don't hold grudges.
I think it's just now it's kind of more of a look back on, kind of just something to laugh about.
Yeah, like in the moment it was really annoying.
Yeah, but you get over it and you grow up, I guess, and it's fun.
And actually, I feel like a lot of these stories they've heard already too. So
yeah, some of these have already been kind of told. But would you like to start?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, our first crazy castmate is Mackenzie. And just a reminder, none of these names are real. Okay, anyway, Mackenzie. So Mackenzie got a lead role in a show, and she probably should not have gotten it because she was not the greatest.
There's probably people who are better for the role.
With the people who were auditioning, there were definitely people who were better qualified, but it was whatever, it happens sometimes. But the issue here was she got this role, bragged about it, like, constantly, and bragged about how good she was, but she never learned her lines, she was always behind, and she was just not great, but, you know, she thought she was perfect, she had this ego where it was just like, wow, I'm so good.
It was mainly the ego part that was, like, made you, like, upset. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I don't really care for how you did that. It was like, oh, but you think you're perfect.
Uh-huh. Like, she didn't take criticism, and she didn't take direction, and it was a rough. She forgot the lines in a duet that she sang in front of one production, and she completely threw the other person off, and it got very, very awkward.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. It sucks when that happens to someone else. Like, they're thrown under the bus, too, for something that they prepared, like, for that song, and then they were thrown under the bus.
And yes, so, accidents do happen, but I think the issue here was she didn't learn her lines.
There wasn't preparation for the part. Yeah. True. Okay. Good luck with this one.
And then this other one. This is just funny. I think we've talked about this before, but Mackenzie had to do this accent at one point, and we've 100% talked about this, but I'm bringing it up again because it's funny. And it had to be a southern accent, and it was knock off, and people were... Knock off southern accent. So, and people were just very confused. And as Erin has written on our script, huh?
It was like, you just didn't really know what they were trying to convey because the accent was so interesting. This is how I feel about accents. Some people should be not, they shouldn't be allowed to do them.
You tell them, sis.
I think it's maybe because I'm very particular about accents. But, like, I don't even know anything about them. I just, like, guess. But, like, it was just, like, what? Like, I don't even know what you're trying to do here. But it was fun, you know? You learn something new every day. Maybe there's something we just don't know.
All right.
I never been to the South. Actually, I have. I've been to the South.
I think this is where we're going to move on now.
I don't know how they do. Okay. Sorry, I do the accents like that all the time, though. Have you not noticed I switch in and out of accents like every 5 seconds?
I was the one who pointed it out. You just randomly switch British sometimes.
Yeah, you really.
I was the one who told you, I was like, why do you just randomly go British? You're like, no, I don't. I was like, yeah, you do.
And then you're like, and I was like, yeah, you're right. Let's learn Mateo.
Mateo.
He barked. He loves Rachel, his...
I'm his god.
Dog mother.
Godmother.
Yes.
Dog godmother.
So Kelly is our next gal. So basically, this one actually is perfect for me to say because it really reflects me. She spread a rumor about me. Did you just hear that?
Yes.
Mateo's whining, sorry. That since there was no one good enough to play. Okay, so this was for Willy Wonka. And she basically told everyone that there wasn't anyone good enough to play the role of Violet. So she was given that role, even though she was originally supposed to get Veruca.
But the issue here was that was not what happened at all. She was just mad she didn't get Veruca.
Yeah. So she just really wanted that role, and she like told everyone this, and this was my first time actually getting like a low-key like a part, like a good part ever, and so I was kind of just like annoyed, I guess, more than anything.
It was flat out mean too, because like she was discrediting your talent by spreading this, because you know she was just like, yeah, I was the best one. I was supposed to get Veruca, not Aaron. But, you know, they just didn't have anybody good enough to play Violet. So they decided Aaron could just have Veruca.
And the thing is, that's also not true, because I could have thought of a lot of other people who could have played Violet.
I 100% agree.
So there was a lot of talented people in that cast. So
yeah.
Then we've talked about Alexis before, and she basically yelled at her for talking trash about me. I am not the type of person that if someone was going to talk trash about me, I would never confront them. I'm the most non-confrontational person ever, and it's, like, almost bad.
Yeah.
So, but I'm really glad Alexis stood up for me in this moment. So, God bless her. And then Rachel, this girl right here, was her mom in the musical. She played the part of Violet's mom. And you were very excited? What?
I don't know where you were going there with
that. I don't know. I said you were very excited. I don't know. Maybe you're really excited for your Mrs. Beauregard.
I don't know why you have that doubt. Karen wrote the script.
But I was going really fast. So it took not you, but it took the girl who played Violet, or Kelly.
Hold on. What was the point of saying I played her mom?
No, because you had to spend more time with her than everyone else.
She was very
You were in all
excited.
Of her scenes. took a long time to get her song memorized. She has like her own little solo song. A great deal of the cast was on stage during her song, so like we were all on stage, and she had trouble staying on the beat, and she kind of like blamed it on everyone else in the cast, and she blamed it on like sound booth. She said, like, the music wasn't turned up loud enough, and the music was literally up as high as it could possibly go.
Like, my ears, I thought were going to... Because I had to stand right by the box at one point, and I thought my ears were going to explode. Like, it was so loud.
I mean, yeah, and we were sitting in the back. That's where they had those things, those speakers and monitors, and it was so loud. And we're like, I don't know what you mean. It's... And I'm a very... Like, I've talked about how I feel about tempo and being on tempo, and I was literally, like having a seizure back there. And another thing is, I think there was, during tech week, she was upset about something, I'm not really sure what, so she refused to put her costume on and kind of, like, pouted in the corner, but you know what, maybe she was going through something, I don't know, I always try to be kind.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay, and then the next thing, this was another thing where she attacked me, I don't know why, she was like, okay, anyways. She was mad about my costume, because originally they had picked out a costume for me, and it didn't even fit right. It didn't look very Veruca salty, like, saltish, I don't know. And so someone else in the cast was like, you know what, I have this, like, purple velvet dress that you can wear, and then you should get, like, white tights, and, like, whatever. And then I all of a sudden had my outfit was, like, completely changed, and it looked a lot like how you would expect her outfit to look. And, I think that she kind of wanted me to have a bad costume, because when we decided to change my costume, and even though it was, like, looked perfect, she was, like, all on the fence. Like, well, that's not the costume we picked out for you. Like, that's a costume.
And I think this is still stemming all the way back to her being mad that she didn't get your role. And so, yeah. Not that she was trying to ruin you for playing that part, but I think, like,
she was... Not only did I get the part she wanted, but I also had, like, the coolest costume.
Yeah. So I think that was what the issue was. Although, her costume was really cool, too. She got to turn into a giant blueberry.
Yeah, true. What the... Yeah. Your guys' jumpsuits were cool.
Yeah.
We Whatever. Soccer mom jumpsuits. I don't know. So, and I was like, no, but the other thing doesn't fit me. Like, I'm not going to wear that. Mm-hmm. So, and then, I guess, so this was this past year, so I wasn't here. But this was for Rachel's musical, and Natalie's playing the game. Basically, she showed up, back up, and tried to take charge of your musical.
Yeah, she'd already graduated, and I really don't understand why she was there, but you know, because like I said, she's what was she in your grade? I can't remember.
Above.
She was the year above you, but I mean, she's graduated and she's kind of showed back up every year.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Is whatever, but like this year, she like specifically showed up and she was
trying to give directions of how to like do things. And you're like, but we wrote this.
Yeah,
I get that. That's I'd be. Well, thing is even if I were to come back and like. You know what I mean? If someone asked me to help and it was their musical that they had written, I would give suggestions, but I would definitely not be like, you need to do this. Like, I would never do mm-hmm. that. That's, no. I'd be afraid that I would be overstepping probably the whole time.
Yeah. So. And this isn't technically just about her, but like, this was something that really frustrated me with the show. Is like, there were a few times when I had like a vision for something and like I'd had it planned out since the beginning and then they told me no. And they changed it, and they wouldn't let it happen. And they said, well, we just think it looks better this other way. But, you know, like...
And it's like, but I saved you so much money.
It was just frustrating, because, yeah. You know... And, like, it didn't happen all the time, and they did try to stay true to what my vision was. But there were, like, a few very specific things that, like... Because mm-hmm. for the most part, I was like, you're the director, you can take charge, whatever, whatever. But there were a few scenes that I had a very specific idea for. And then they were just like, no. And I was like... Okay. Yeah,
I can see how that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's like your own musical, but some of it's not really your own.
Yeah. So. But whatever. It didn't ruin the show or anything. It was just...
Yes, it did.
Thank you.
I'm kidding. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I'm excited. Okay, so your turn.
Next person is Millie.
I know a lot of Millies.
Okay, so Millie. Millie decided... I don't know, sophomore or junior year, that she was gender fluid. She decided that. And this was during Oklahoma.
Which I have nothing. Huh? Like, I don't have anything against anyone who, you know.
Oh, you know no.
I mean? It's
no.
That. That's not. I don't want to make sure that.
Yeah.
That's.
No, okay. That's not what we're saying.
This it's, is not it, the same thing.
Just listen. You'll understand what we're talking about here. And so this was during Oklahoma, where Alex, who we've talked about before, he choreographed Many a New Day and forgot to put her in it. So he decided that she would only be a boy for the rest of the musical.
Because she was already, like, cast and, like, she was okay with being both.
Uh-huh.
And, like, doing the roles of both. And he was like, he forgot to put her in, but you already choreographed it. So he was like, okay, well, you're just going to be in the dances with where, you know, you'll be in your guy costume. Right? That's what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because... Alex didn't know what she wanted to be because, like, her clothes changed from very, very feminine to very, very masculine every single day. And I think that's kind of where the issue is here because I don't, with knowing her as a person, I really don't think she's actually gender fluid. I think that was...
Yeah, maybe...
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know for sure. You, like, you never know for sure, but based on, you know, it did... give her like a lot of attention by doing that, so that is possible, but
so the point here is we don't have anything like if you're gender fluid, you're gender fluid, we get that.
Yeah,
the Love point you. Here is I guess maybe how she took the approach to it was like okay,
and it also it was really hard for like Alex, like he's like I don't know what to do, like mm-hmm. and I guess we're also just not used to like those kind of situations, like he's like I don't know what you want, and I don't want to sound disrespectful in any way, so, but it made it a little confusing sometimes.
So moving on then with that, she thought that she had the best singing voice, and this is another ego issue.
I just put debatable.
She thought she had the best singing voice, comma, debatable. I think technically by definition, she probably was tone deaf. Just
yeah.
And not meant in a rude way or anything. It's just like literally
some
by definition.
Some people are actually like completely tone
actually deaf. Tone deaf. And I think like that's, like I said, not saying that to be mean. Like I think she genuinely is, because like she couldn't match pitch at all. Like if you played a note, she would sing something that was completely off. Like it wasn't even any work.
Some
close.
People just are. They're tone deaf. You know.
Yeah.
That's okay, how
it where was. I, where was I? Oh, she was incredibly bossy too. So there was during. Was this during Oklahoma?
Yes, it was during.
During Oklahoma, our director made her. The student director, which I say in quotes, because really the main job at that year was just to get coffee, mm-hmm. which she pretty much said, like, our director pretty much flat out said, like, yeah, you're a student director, but pretty much you're
basically
getting coffee and running errands. You don't really have a say. But she took this as a position of power, like, this ego thing that we were talking about, just like, and she tried to tell everyone what to do constantly. Like, she tried to block scenes. She tried to change things around. The big thing was, like, our director would have already set something, and then she would try to change it.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, and behind our director's back, like, it was not asked, because when I would go ask our director, I'd be like,
she said
Millie's that. Trying to tell us to do this, and she'd be like, what? Why? It's like, I don't know. That's what Millie told us to do. Nobody really listened to her, but it was just, like, the, like, when she would say something, everybody would just kind of stare at her, but it was just,
the, like, I wasn't told anything, like, what? And I remember, like, I had songs, some of my things, it was like, you know what, you just map it out yourself, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a solo song and you're used to, like, performing in front of people a lot, like, a lot of times the director would be like, how about you do what's comfortable for you, and then if I see anything that I think you should change, do it. So I would do that, and then she would, like, tell me, like, oh, you should do this instead. And I was like, I mean, if the director tells me, then, like, then I'll listen, but
not you.
But I'm sorry, but I can't take advice from you.
Because I don't, she also didn't really have any experience.
Yeah,
either.
It's not
maybe
like,
if she, like, if she'd had more experience. Even,
like, if, like, one of my voice teachers was there helping one day. Like, someone who has been in that position many times before, has had leads, has done all this, like, then I would definitely be like, oh, that's a really good, like, I would listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, and I was like, huh?
And, like, again, it was like, it wasn't, the student director role wasn't supposed to be a position of power, and everybody in the cast was aware of that because the director made it pretty, like,
yeah.
The director made it clear. So then when she came around, it was like, I'm in charge, I get to do it this way, and I'm telling you to do it because I'm a student director. It was like, huh?
Yeah. It was just, yeah. So that was Oklahoma, and then I'm out of here now. I graduated after Oklahoma, so.
Yeah. Okay, so then this was after Oklahoma. This was during Little Women. She auditioned for Rodrigo because she's gender fluid, which is fine. Like, that was the only role she wanted, and she ended up getting it. But going back to this debatable singing, I just...
Yeah.
I just kind of have PTSD. I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
It was just... You're like, this is dramatic, Aaron, and you're like, it's okay.
I know, I was just thinking, oh, I was just thinking about that, like, the face I made too, I was like, my eyes were, like, big.
They really were, just like, this is dramatic. But, okay, so, like I said, she is actually tone deaf. So, and this was, like, the first scene in Act 2, which anybody who knows musicals know that that is a very, very big deal.
Yes.
Like, you have to have a very strong ending of Act 1 and a very strong beginning of Act 2.
Yes, ma'am.
And it just, it was rough. It was very, very rough. And I guess that's the best way to put it. But
yeah. It's okay. You will be okay. You will get through this.
No, you know, and you know, like, now I'm over it. It's just, like I said, it's just one of those things.
It can be frustrating.
In the moment, it was very frustrating. And, you know, looking back on it, like, watching, like, the videos and stuff, I'm just, like, I kind of, like, cringe every time I get to that part. But it's just.
That's okay. Yeah, I get it. Okay, let's go to the next one. My parents, I wonder if you can yell. They are literally so loud. You ever noticed that?
I love your parents.
They when they sneeze, they literally sneeze so loud. They cough, they sound like they're dying. They always talk loud. Their voices carry like crazy. So sorry about that. Hi, Mom and Dad. So, Harold. So this was in Willy Wonka, and he had this solo song. And he couldn't really sing the song because it was, right, first of all, it was too high. It was not in his range at all, which if a song is in your range, it's going to just be...
So with that aspect, that was not his fault because our director refused to lower it. So like that is not his fault.
And he really just couldn't... He wasn't the most trained singer. just wasn't amazing. It wasn't absolutely terrible.
Some parts were okay.
Yeah. It's just sometimes it was like a, like pretty off.
But again, the issue here is...
He had the biggest ego of any guy Rachel has ever met, she says.
Why specifically me?
And that's what you said.
Do you not also think that...
I don't know if he's the biggest ego.
Yeah, well, for me, I don't think I've ever met anybody with
a Actually, biggest ego. I'm just thinking of people in general, but ever met... Maybe
that I've
one
ever
of
met.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
And she needs to be popped like a balloon. I wrote that. It's funny when you said
that's
that.
So funny.
Yeah, it's just it was a lot of it, like the way he walked and carried himself. It wasn't like just like, oh, he's very confident. It's like overconfident. Like he thinks he's the biggest person in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Oklahoma, he wanted the role of Judd Fry. And he threatened, like, actually threatened to fight the guy who did get the role. Brandon. Hey, Brandon. I don't know if he listens. But, yeah, so Brandon did get it. And he, like, actually, like, threatened, like, I don't know what he was going
to
do. Like, but
I remember Brandon coming up to me and was like, so, like...
It's like high school drama club. Like,
Harold has threatened to fight me. Mm-hmm. Like, actually fight me. And I was like, what? And he's like... He's mad he didn't get the role, like, very, very mad, and, like, actually wants to, like, square up with me. I was like,
Yeah. So, that was, you know, that spiced things up. And then, so, in Oklahoma, he did get a good role.
And that was the other thing. Like, the role that he got was not a bad role. It wasn't like he was in chorus or anything. He got another bigger role.
He got a good role. And he decided he wanted to wear an American flag shirt, even though that wasn't even a thing back then.
It didn't
so
exist.
It was like this black shirt, like button down, and it had an American flag just like on the top. I think he got it on Amazon, which, if you know, at the time, like obviously the flag wasn't even most of the states probably. I don't even know if they were completely. Most of the states weren't really completely defined yet.
So personality-wise. If the show had been taken place in modern day, that shirt would have made sense.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the fact that this was...
Yes.
Before Oklahoma was even a state, it was a territory.
Like, in modern times, it would make sense for that character's personality.
Yes.
But back in historically, the day, realistically,
it
doesn't match up.
And it was. And the thing is, this wasn't supposed to be a spoof show or anything. Like, if it was a spoof show, then maybe. But, you know, you always want to try to keep a show as realistic as possible.
Mm-hmm. And he... kind of threw a fit when the director tried to change it. He didn't listen, so she
just gave in.
She gave in, and he wore it. So
and that it always fresh. That part did always frustrate me. Like even you know looking back on it, because it was.
Yeah, I was like,
because I think the big thing is he just thought it was funny, and I think he wanted to do it because he thought it was funny. It really didn't even have anything to do with him trying to stay true to the character or anything. It was just he thought it would be hilarious, so he wanted to do it.
Who knows? Okay, where am I? He stumbled on his lines a lot, and he had this solo in the song, and he just, like, and I think, once again, it was just, like, a lot of it was, he may not have, like, the biggest range, so it's hard for him to find a range, or, like, a key that fits really good for his voice. Like, some people just don't have very big ranges, and it's harder for them to find a good key.
Mm-hmm.
So he would keep, and you didn't want to change, because this was a song a lot of other people sang in, so you didn't want to change the key, or like maybe not too much, because then that would throw everyone else off or whatever. And so he would just switch octaves halfway through, like a phrase sometimes. He would be like, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Like, it was like, I don't know, and like, it was just up and down.
It was bouncy.
It was bouncy, and that's normally not a thing that happens in music. Melodies are written to be easy. And stepwise motion. Music theory nerd. Okay.
Okay, moving on.
You're like, I hate you.
The next person your turn. We have is Harold Jr.
Oh, God.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much. Just, we have Harold and then Harold Jr.
Our names are just beautiful names.
Okay.
I love them.
During Oklahoma, he was behind on his solo all of the time. And then during Little Women, he could not hit the notes. And I think this is another case of, again, not trying to be mean, it was like just a straight up fact that some people are tone deaf and he meets the criteria for that.
Oh my God, you're such a savage.
No, like by definition.
I know, by definition you are correct. Okay. Correct.
I try not to throw the term tone deaf around because, like that's it's not a good thing to be. But like by definition, some people do actually meet the criteria.
Yeah, 1 to 3% of the population.
43%.
1 to 3. It's only 1 to 3.
Oh, I thought you said 43.
Seems like it sometimes.
I was like, dang, 43%.
Nah.
So, because again, it's one of those things where, you know, you play a pitch on the piano and he Harold Jr. just cannot match it. Like, he's very, very, very far off, which is criteria for that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I had, during Little Women, our director just kind of gave up working with him and was just like, here, Rachel, you do it. Which I was just like, oh, which was fine. But, you know, it was just very frustrating because I tried to help him and it was unsuccessful.
It wasn't like he was like a little bit off, that it would be just like with some time put aside, you'd be able to get it underway, like be fine. It was like, I think I'm going backwards because this is not working at all.
Yeah. And so, and then again, it's kind of an ego thing where he thought he was very, very, very good at singing and he didn't need the help. And so he kind of dismissed it a lot of the times as well, which could have been part of the issue of why it never really got better, because he would just get frustrated because, you know,
he's probably always assumed that
he's like,
perfect.
Oh, why do you need to help me with this? I'm fine. I don't need your help. It's like, so that's,
if you offer to help me, I'd be like, give it to me, man. That's a part about being a musician.
And that's how you grow. You take critique and you need help. And so he couldn't do that. And, you know, that was probably part of the reason. And I had a solo with him. Or, like, a duet, I mean. And so, like, it was just very frustrating. Because especially, like, being on stage when you're with somebody who's, like,
not singing on pitch. And you're
not singing on pitch. And it can be hard to, A, keep yourself on pitch. Especially if the music's not loud and you are singing at the exact same time. It can be very difficult to keep yourself on pitch. And second of all, it can sometimes make people be like, oh, I didn't like that song.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you were really trying your hardest.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just, it was, and I don't know, and I don't really think people thought that, because we got it to a point where it was okay. Like,
mm-hmm.
We finally got to a point, but this was, like, working, like, constantly. And, yeah, so, okay. Mm-hmm. And then, during playing the game, and this is recent, and so I'm still a little bit triggered by it, which is...
It'll be okay.
Like, it's not that I hold a grudge, it's just very frustrating, and you will see why. Because remember, the show is my baby. Like, I wrote this show, I wrote all the characters, my baby. So anyway, during playing the game, Harold Jr. was extremely confident that he was going to get the lead male role.
Mateo's getting yelled at.
Mateo's getting yelled at, yes. But instead, his best friend got the lead male role. And he got really mad and he just wouldn't show up to practices and he wouldn't let anybody know he wasn't coming and he wouldn't say anything. And then me and Natalie, who wrote the show, we overheard him saying at one point that he thought he was maybe going to quit the show, but, like, you know, he wasn't totally sure yet. He hadn't come to any practices and he just wasn't sure, but he was mad at the role he got it. Oh my gosh. He was mad at the role he got and he just kind of wanted to quit. And then he said that the role that we wrote for him, like, we could just write it out. Like, cause he said it wasn't needed.
Okay, oh, I see what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was just like,
So you're telling us,
like, he's pretty,
to write our musical?
Well, like, he was like, oh, you don't need this character, just write it out. Which is like, okay, but if we try to write out your character, that's losing, like, 15 pages of dialogue right there. Like, maybe that's you know what I'm saying? Like, we would have to have rewrote the whole entire thing. He did not tell anybody until a month before the show that he was not doing it. Mm-hmm. And we had to recast a month before the show. And he didn't even tell the director. He probably wasn't going to say anything about it except just not show up. He wasn't even going to say he wasn't doing it because the director had to confront him about it. And then he said, oh yeah, I'm not doing it, but I want to work backstage. And then he worked backstage and he did curtains. Okay. He had a headset. This is fine. Okay. So this was during one of the actual performances. The very first act of act two, Natalie's on stage and it's kind of like a dream futuristic sequence type thing, and about halfway through these backup dancers come out and it's kind of like she's like in the middle of a concert and it's a really cool thing. Well, okay, so during this scene Natalie was struggling to hear, and so one of the backup dancers, they were waiting backstage to go on, and so she was like, oh, she can't hear. So she goes over to Harold Jr. and is like, hey, she can't hear, you need to turn the music up. And he just goes, I can't do that, I can't turn up the music, what do you mean, like, why are you telling me this? And she's like, sound crew. And he's like, what? I can't tell sound crew. Remember, he has a headset. Like, he
can't. It's not like the headset is broken either.
No, it's a headset that works. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't do this. Like, I don't know what you need me to do. And she was like, she can't hear. She needs the music up. And so then Harold Jr. comes back over, because I was sitting back there with a few other people. It's like, she can't hear. Apparently now Natalie can't hear the music. Can you figure out how to, like, get it louder? And there, we were all kind of just stared at him, and we're like, tell them on the headset that they need to turn the music up. And then he was like, what? Like, use the headset and tell sound crew to turn the music up. And then this, what ended up happening was the girl, the backup dancer, was missed her cue because she was trying to convey to him. Like, this was just, it should have been a common sense thing. Yeah. Like, anybody who works backstage, especially if you have a headset, if you say you can't hear the music, you get it fixed.
Yeah, you go quick.
And this girl, like, she was trying
to... Because you don't want to mess with a singer who's on stage and they can't hear.
That's bad.
They're going to be mad at
and
you.
And so because he was not getting the concept that he needed to tell sound crew, this girl was trying to keep conveying it to him, like, please tell them. And she missed her cue going on, and she was so upset afterwards. Like, she cried, and she was like, she thought I was going to yell at her afterwards, because she's like, I just messed up her whole show, because this was the night we were videotaping the show. And she's like, I just messed it up. Like, Rachel's going to be so mad at me, so is Natalie. They're going to yell at me. And she was, like, so upset at herself. And I'm like, and I was like, it is not your fault.
Yeah, no.
Like, no, that is all on him. You did exactly what you were supposed to. What should have happened is you should have said, Natalie can't hear, turn the music up. And Harold Jr. should have said, okay, gone on his mic and told sound crew to turn it up, and you should have made it on time. Like, that's what should have happened.
She did the right thing. Like, you know, like, oh, she was paying attention to how, like Natalie's cues, and was like, you know, she's actually paying attention. It's not like she was backstage horsing around. She saw that, she told someone, and then, like, nothing even happened.
And she still, like, to this day, gets extremely upset if you mention anything. Like, if you even say the name of the show, she just starts, like, cringing, because, like...
That, like, that upset like, her so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it was, like, mortifying so to her. And it makes me really upset, because it's, like...
You wouldn't want her to have that memory of, like, a show or anything. Like, just something she didn't even do.
Yeah.
The thing that just makes sense to me is, like, even if he didn't have a headset... He could have easily found someone with a headset, or he could have just sprinted upstairs real quick to the sound booth, because it literally is not that far.
Instead, he stood there and went, I can't do anything about it. What do you mean?
It's like, that's your job. Like, you're backstage.
I was talking with the director about it later, and even she had said, I just don't understand that at all. Like, she was genuinely
it's just like common
confused.
Sense.
She's like, I don't understand it at all. Like, that's just it is.
I can't even find a way to explain why he would have said that. That would have made sense. Like, there's no common explanation.
Especially when she was like, oh, tell sound crew, and like he still wasn't.
And they're like, use a headset.
And he's still like, what? What do you mean?
Because even like, what if he didn't know how to work a headset? He could have been like, oh, I don't know how to work it. Someone right there could have freaking done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of people back there. They could like help him. I don't know.
But so, yeah.
Maybe that's just me.
No, it's just, so yeah.
It's just my opinion.
I'm still a little bit salty about that whole situation because it was just not good from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it was very childlike how he handled not getting the role that he wanted, which I understand being upset about not getting a role you wanted.
Mistakes always happen, but like there's something that's like.
Yeah, and then going back to that, it's
like,
just.
What? Doesn't make sense. Makes sense.
It was, but yeah. But, so I still just feel really upset for, like, the girl that missed her cue.
I would. Yeah, that's like the worst part. I think
that is the worst part. Like,
cause I can, I would, I'm one of those people that I would completely be like oh, this is my fault.
And she struggled to
and
like.
And it's not.
And I know exactly what was going through her mind though, because like when she was on stage, because even then you could tell like she just looked like she was about to burst into tears on stage, and this is all in like the video too.
Yeah.
And you know she, it's not that she was struggling to keep up afterwards, but you could totally tell that like her brain, she was not focused anymore.
Yeah, I would be like that too.
Yeah, and I would as well. And it's just really upsetting again because this is on the video, and so, and really her coming in late, it's not super noticeable. Like I don't think it's that bad. She managed to come in a time that like it made sense.
Yeah, that's good.
Even though everybody else was out there, but it was just the fact that then she was not like herself anymore.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So like I said, the fact that he was like lacking the common sense is dumb, but it's just like the worst part is just that it affected somebody else very negatively and gave them a very negative memory.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I'm done ranting about that one.
You can tell when you're ranting because you talk like way faster. You're like da 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 da. I probably do the same thing.
I hope you can all understand me. I was just
you have clear diction. You don't have a lisp anymore. Rachel Bowing.
Rachel Bowing? Oh my gosh.
Okay, so our next person, I named her Mary Poppins because I don't know why I didn't just give her a different name because she was in Mary Poppins.
This was during the show.
And I honestly don't even know her real name. I don't, I've literally have not seen her probably since. I don't know her. She was a younger girl. So I was like a sophomore in high school and she was, I don't even know. She was young. She's probably middle school. Not young, middle school. And so what happened is I just remember she would always, well, we would always change in the band room. And this was at Crescent Players. So like right by the auditorium, there was this, the band room, and all the girls would normally change in there. And then the guys would go, I don't know, what was it, the food room? I don't know what that room was. Well, they changed somewhere else. But like a lot of times after everyone would like change, the guys would come into the room and like everyone would be in that room. But anyways, she would always walk around in her like training bra and underwear all the time. Like she would walk around everywhere. Like, and I would be like, change real quick, you know, or some people would even like go to the bathroom and change or something. And she would just strut around in it. And I just think it's kind of funny. But I think what happened is she had a crush on one of the young boys in the cast. And I think she wanted him to see her. Cause like,
her underwear.
Because the guy, you know, I guess. Because just showing it all off when you're fifth grade. I don't know.
Weird. So funny.
So like, because they would always, you know, the guys would always come in and she would like take her time. And I don't know. It was interesting. I'm glad you were, because at first you didn't remember
this. I didn't
this,
remember
I was like,
first.
You don't remember
this.
No,
the more you talked about it, I was like, yep, I remember this now.
So, those fun times.
Awesome. All right, next guy is honestly my favorite.
He's my favorite too.
Broom guy.
Yeah, broom guy.
We've
broom
talked guy. About him so much, but honestly, he's just iconic.
He kind of is iconic.
So, broom guy, just a reminder, he would like to dance with a certain broom. He was in love with this certain broom. He would hiss at people if they tried to take his broom away from him.
Happened to you.
Yep. He scared people because he'd be swinging the broom around.
He almost hit me one time and I was like, Rachel, you gotta tell this kid to stop.
And he hissed at me.
Yep.
And I just took the broom and backed away slowly and it was just...
You fear for your life. Yep.
He's on iconic. That's
iconic.
One of my favorite stories from the show. And
so funny.
The thing is, his name is now forever Broom Guy. Like, the thing is, we didn't even bother to give him a name in this because it's just Broom Guy. Like,
I wouldn't know what else to call him.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah.
He also, in a more negative standpoint,
yeah,
he didn't do his job moving
he
sets.
He did a lot of backstage.
He did a lot of backstage, but he just, I don't know if it was a lack of common sense or if it was just a not paying attention or if it was a not caring, but he did not move sets, got yelled at a lot. He almost caused safety issues. He almost killed Aaron at one point.
Yeah.
So,
I was like, bro, how do you think I'm going to get down from here? You think I'm just going to jump?
So, broom guy, iconic, also not great.
Also not iconic.
Also not iconic.
Funny. Okay. Always makes me laugh.
Me okay. Too. I hear
broom.
And I just laugh.
Sometimes, like, yeah, sometimes I just hear the word broom and I'm like, did you just say the
because,
word broom?
Well, I forever have a memory of him hissing at me.
And the only,
pointing the
probably
broom
the only other person that's ever hissed at you is me.
Yeah. And you do it as a joke though. He was that serious. He was like, don't come near my broom.
Yeah. And also, I'm really close with you. I would never do that to like someone I just kind of knew from a musical.
It's like, it's
funny.
It's so funny.
Memories. Okay, next one is Darlene.
Darlene. Oh boy.
I don't even know who this is. I'm going to have to keep reading. Oh, I know.
You'll know who it is.
So she was only cast as the role.
This was during Shrek.
Shrek, okay.
She
only because
Fiona.
Of who she knew, basically. Which we all know that happens a lot, especially in like community and high school.
That's
theater.
Not the issue here.
Yeah. She was a teacher. And I guess because of that, she felt she was, like, superior to everyone musically, even though she wasn't even a music teacher, was she?
Mm-hmm.
She was
a music teacher.
Oh, well, maybe different career choice would be. Oh, that was really mean, Mom. I'm sorry. My grandma. Oh, my grandma is going to be so upset with me. Okay. Anyways. The guy who
Savage.
Played her. I'm just being truthful, okay? I'm trying to help you out. Lead adjacent role had once been her student.
So the guy who played Shrek.
And he was a senior in high school.
So just recapping here. The guy who played Shrek was a senior in high school. The girl who played Fiona was a teacher who had had him as a student, and
she's about like 30,
probably,
or high 20s, but still, it's like weird.
It's weird.
So that's always fun. So she would always yell at everyone constantly, made people cry, you know, casually.
Just the same.
she was mean. I remember, I wasn't in the show, and I remember people would talk about how mean she was, and like some people were like scared of her.
Yeah.
And
she was just, she, with having the lead, she also, so besides the fact that she felt she was superior, because I was in Shrek, so besides the fact that she had, that she thought she was superior because she was a music teacher, she also felt superior because she was a lead role, which anybody who has dealt with people like that before know it's a great type of reaction. And so she had two reasons to feel that she was superior.
I guess. And I remember watching Shrek, and my mom and I were just like, what? Like, why did they cast her as Fiona? Because you could definitely tell there was a lot of very talented people in the cast.
In the chorus.
And especially the chorus. You were just like, I mean, I was like, half these people, I'm like, why aren't you in that role? Anyways.
Which isn't bad, because you always need a strong chorus. And yes. Chorus roles are very, very, very important.
But you could have found someone that was just, that was very talented and, like, closer in age to the guy of Shrek, you know?
Uh-huh.
That was not better. I don't know. Anyways, we're just like, huh? Okay, so then Mary Poppins. So one time it was in between shows. It was like a two-show day. And she came into the auditorium and everyone in there was like sleeping because we still had like an hour and a half until the next show.
The lights were off. Like, we were like out. Like, yeah. Actually sleeping.
And she just ran in there and began yelling at everyone.
Turned on the lights
and was like, start getting ready. And everyone's like, we still have an hour and a half. Like,
and
we
honestly,
can take care of ourselves.
It honestly might have been longer too. Like somebody had an alarm set. Like we were prepared, and this was like a good chunk of the cast too. Like everybody was exhausted. We had had a late night before. I can't remember what had happened because I know normally we would do cast parties after each show.
And you're exhausted because you've been rehearsing all week and having shows.
And you're exhausted because it's tech week and a show. Yeah, and we had plenty of time left. Like I said, somebody had a alarm.
Probably a couple people had alarms.
And she came in just barging away and yelled at everybody, and everybody was so mad because like everybody was out. Like I remember like one of the best sleeps. It was so cute though how we were sleeping. Like we were all piled on top of each other with our heads on each other's stomachs, and it was just like.
And everyone, you know, you wake people up like that, they're gonna be grumpy. Mm-hmm. That's gonna affect their performance.
Yeah.
Like, at least if you're gonna wake them up, be nice about it.
Yeah,
like,
she just turned on the lights, and it was pitch black in this auditorium. Yeah. Turns on the lights, comes in yelling at everybody. Get up! You have to get ready. Show they're just like
stupid. And then the Christmas Cabaret, which I think was my senior year in high school. I don't really know. We had me and her had like the same part, which I think they felt bad because they never gave me a lead role. So they're just like, you can be this lead girl person who just has this really high soprano solo. I was like, why? I don't want this solo, because at that time I was like, I can't really sing head voice that well, so I'd prefer not to. But I did, and we had like the same thing, and the thing is, it's like, I didn't have a good head voice, but I probably still sounded like 10 times better, which is not really great. That's really sad, because I did not sound good. I think I wrote down, not the most beautiful thing you've ever heard.
Yikes.
And then do you want to talk about Hello Dolly, since you were actually in it?
Okay, Hello Dolly. So first of all, she was the lead, like she was Dolly, and all the other leads were just all teenagers, and that's just kind of funny because it's just like, you know, she's old now, not old, but like, she's not old, but like compared to like a bunch of teenagers.
Well, yeah,
which is, it's just kind of funny because it's just like, the show never happened because of Corona, but I just wonder what the cast would have thought, because like, or like not the cast, but the audience would have thought.
Yeah.
Just like, there's... But anyway, but I remember this one time, she was talking trash about the St. Henry people because we had missed a few rehearsals, or we had come late to rehearsals, but we had school things going on, and it had been clear, and they were valid reasons, like, it wasn't just us skipping. But I remember she was, and I overheard, somebody else told me about this, actually multiple people told me about this, that she was talking trash about us to the other castmates, saying we didn't deserve our roles because we didn't show up. And this was like a whole group of people, like all the St. Henry people. She was like, they just don't deserve their roles. They shouldn't have their roles. Knowing her from just the way she's acted in past shows, I would say it was just kind of a jealous issue where she wanted to be the main star. And, you know, if Hello Dolly, obviously Dolly is the star, but like there's also like a lot of stars, other lead roles that are very important as well. And it was just kind of like a, oh, let's turn everybody against them and make them think that they're bad and I'm the only good one who really deserved my part. But it was just, it was very frustrating because, and I really wanted to confront her about it and I didn't.
Cause, well, I mean, I know you guys, you're all really hard workers and like, and you want to just miss. And the directors, I don't know who was directing it, but the people who normally direct it, they know like the kind of people you guys are.
And I think that was part of the issue then too, because there were some new people in this cast who didn't know any of us.
Yeah.
You know, she's telling all of them about how we are slacking and we don't deserve our roles and all of this stuff. And it's just like, why would you do that?
Like, talking trash to even it, and just like spreading it to everyone. That's like never a good idea.
And she's not a teenager either. She is an adult.
That's very,
like, that's not a,
that sounds like so high school.
It does. And you have to,
as you say, I'm in high school, but you're not, you don't
know that. But you're right. But like, you know, as you get older, you're supposed to be able to set examples and you're supposed to outgrow that.
Yeah.
Apparently some people never outgrow.
Yeah, set, you could be an inspiration to someone. That's why you have to be really careful. You do get a lead. Some people could really look up to you.
If you get a lead, your ego should not grow.
I had some girls come up to me and tell me I was a princess, and I was like, Mom.
Yeah. No, it's so fun. And you know, even like people in the audience, like if you get a lead role in a show, and especially if you do like a meet afterwards, you still want to be like, you want to be a genuine person, because you could have some little child who comes up to you super excited to meet you because they like think you're amazing. And if you just kind of give them the cold shoulder or brush them off, that could like crush them.
Yeah. And it may make them not really like theater as much too, because they might be like, oh, is that what really all the people in theater are like?
Yeah.
And then like, think about all the missed opportunities there. That's sad. I remember in Mary Poppins, did you know, when I was the bunny, I was one kid's favorite character. One girl came up to me, she freaking loved me.
I love that.
She's like, I love the bunny. She had to get a picture with me. I was like,
are you kidding? You were scary though. That was the thing. Like, you were terrifying as the bunny.
I was terrifying. No, I was really terrifying when I was the other thing.
That too.
That person. I think some people were like actually freaking scared. Like, I don't think they wanted to talk to me afterwards.
I did not tell you this. This is literally one of my favorite things ever, because I was about to say that. Speaking of, you know, little kids and how they kind of look up to you. So there were these two little girls that came to see Playing the Game, and they came up to me afterwards and they were like, oh, hi, Janessa, which is fine, because, you know, when they don't know your real name, they call you by your stage name, which was funny because at the time I thought they said Alyssa, and so I was really confused.
Like, hi?
I thought they were like, hi, Alyssa, you did really good, and I was like, Alyssa?
Thanks, gal.
But Natalie pointed out that they had probably said Janessa, which was fine. But they were super sweet and they were super cute and they like kept talking to me and they were super excited. And then I had a book signing a few weeks later for my book, and they showed up with their mom.
Aww.
And they were literally so excited, and she was like,
you have fans.
Well, it's so cute, right? Because she was,
you
like,
have fans.
I do, because she was like, God. We saw that you were going
to
be...
You're already starting to be famous.
They're like, we saw you were going to be here today, and we just had to come. She's like, my girls love you. Like, they love you. Like, every time like they see you, like, I don't know if they see me in the hallways, but which doesn't ever make much sense to me, because, you know, I'm in the high school, and I think they're in the elementary. But
yeah, but they probably see you singing at, like, maybe church or other things.
But regardless, she says anytime they see you, they always, like, come home that day, and they're always like, I saw Rachel today. Oh, my gosh. Because I guess they finally learned my real name.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so cute.
It was so cute. She's like, so, yeah, we saw that you were going to be here. And we're like, we don't have your book, but we just wanted to come and say hi. And then, like, they kind of, and it was like, we talked for a little while, and I took a picture with them, and it was super cute because they're little, and, you know, it was adorable. And they kind of left, and they came back later, and the mom was like, oh, one of the daughters, she's like, she wants to get your book. Like, she's too young to read it, but, like, she wants to get your book. Aww. And so they bought a book, and I signed it, and they were just so happy, and it was...
Just imagine if you would have brushed them off, though.
I know.
That, like, would have just broken their
hearts.
If
they had, like, come over, like, if during the actual show, instead of, like, because, like, I engaged with them, and I talked with them, like, at the actual show, but if I had been like, oh, thank you, and then moved on to somebody else, or been like, like, fake smile, thanks, and then moved on, like, that would have destroyed their little hearts.
Yeah.
Aww. It was so
that
cute.
That is so cute.
I love that. Same.
Oh, ending on a happy
and
note.
And then there's more. Okay, but this is so cute.
Because
the mom was like, oh, where are you going to school at? And I was kind of like explaining the whole situation. And, you know, there was one school, and I actually can't remember which school it was anymore. Because, you know, I had to be like, oh, I don't actually know yet, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
And I told her one of the schools, and she was like, oh, my gosh, we have family up there. If you go there, you'll have to let me know, and we'll come up and visit you.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, thank you.
Dang. That's adorable. I love that.
I do, too.
It is feels good when, like, those kind of things happen to you, because I feel like when you're, like, performing, sometimes you can get really hard on yourself, or so many things can always go wrong, but then, like, something like that happens, and you're like, oh, so all this annoying stuff about it is worth it, mm-hmm. kind of.
So, ending our crazy castmates episode on a happy note.
Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm happy now.
Me too. So I hope you enjoyed us talking about experiences that we've had with certain people.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, we grew because of these experiences.
And that's very true. You know, you have experiences and they're going to stick with you, but you're going to grow as a person too.
Yeah. You learn how to deal with them and then you know what to do more in the future, so.
And you know, just looking back on it, it's funny. A lot of these are just funny.
You said funny and I thought, broom guy.
Broom guy.
I'm sorry. I need to stop. I'm sorry. They're probably all like, who is this? Like, I wish I knew him because it's kind of iconic. But anyways, broom guy. That's all I got to say for you folks.
Yeah, that's all we have.
This is season 2, episode 4.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. I trust Crazy Castmates. And next episode will be a musical review.
Yes, it will.
And that's all I think we have to say.
Yay!
So thank you all for listening.
And have a wonderful day and week.
Day and week and year and life.
And we will see you next week.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Okay, bye.